ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
If there's no evidence of a new life, is there genuine saving faith? I don't think so. Faith of Abraham showed that he believed. And I think for us, the biggest thing is, do we believe that God became flesh, dwelt among us, went to the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins? Do we believe that by repenting of our sins and asking Him to be Lord and Savior of our lives that we will be saved? That is a walk of faith. I know when this earthly tent, this dwelling place for my spirit and soul, when it fails, my soul and spirit are going to be with the Lord. I am 100% sure. That's great comfort to me. I'm excited about that. I don't necessarily like the process of death. That's painful, right? You know, aches and pains and all those things. But I like the end result is I'm with Jesus. I have a new body. I won't be a diabetic anymore. When I go to eat, another pie around here. Give me that, the whole thing. You don't have to slice it, man. Right? Faith. We need to walk the evidence. Look at verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Faith plus works equal in salvation? No, we talked about that. But we see it again here in the story of Rahab, that this faith is not saving faith, it's evidence for the faith. You know, Paul in Philippians 2 said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, please understand, Paul's not saying, you know, Jesus saves us, but then you have to work to keep in, to maintain your salvation. And if you don't, you lose it. We'd all be in trouble if that were true. You know, remember what he said in Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, obviously, he's not talking about working our way in, that you have to maintain your salvation, because the work's completed. The work's done. What do I add to it? Nothing. Paul says we are to work out our salvation, not work to get in. That's a huge, huge difference. What does it mean? It's what James is talking about. Work out. Let people see that what you believe is real, that you're trusting in God. I don't know how God is going to handle this situation. I don't know how he's going to work it out, but I'm going to trust in him that he's going to see me through it one way or another. I'm going to rest in him. That's the faith that people see. We moved up here from Chicago. I had a great job. And the people where I worked in the open heart unit down in Chicago, man, they could not understand why I would leave such a great job. I mean, I got to help out opening up the open heart unit, working with surgeons from Loyola University at our hospital. I mean, it was tremendous. It was so much fun. It's so exciting to do. But I know what God called me to do. And when the door opened up for me to come up here, it was done. And people couldn't understand it. And I had to explain to them, which was kind of fun. God called me to be a pastor in Manitowoc. He gave me those words 10 or 11 years earlier that he was going to move me up to Wisconsin one day. He didn't specifically say Manitowoc. And when that call came, it was easy for me to say, now it's time for me to go. As hard as it is to say goodbye to my church family, the people I worked with, my family that lives in the Chicagoland area, I knew people saw my faith was real. That I was walking away from everything, going to a place where I didn't know one person to live. And that's what we're to be doing. Letting people see our faith is real. And the story of Rahab, let's turn over to Joshua chapter 2 for a second. Let's look at the faith of Rahab and what that's all about. We're going to pick up, we're going to just read through this so we get the whole story here. We're told this, Joshua 2, starting in verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So before they lay down, she came to them on the roof and said to them, "Men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of the Lord has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you have utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth, and earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." Then the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless we, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear." Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Then they departed and went to the mountain and stayed 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen him, or them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Rahab the harlot was not saved by her good works. There was evidence of her faith. And yes, she was young. You know, we had Abraham a Jew. Now we have Rahab a Gentile, showing that Jews and Gentiles are saved the same way. Her good works didn't save her. They were the evidence for her faith. In fact, it's interesting. Rahab is in the Hall of Faith section in Hebrews. Think about that one. Hebrews 11:31, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." Wow. That's tremendous faith. They did not have Facebook, Twitter, or anything like that in those days. But word had gotten out what the children of Israel had done, what the God of Israel had done for his people. All the inhabitants of Jericho were afraid, right? They went down, they put the city in lockdown. They were terrified. But there was one who was not only aware of the God of Israel, but believed in the God of Israel. Was her faith very young? Yeah. All she knew was about is what she heard about the God of Israel. But she believed. And her faith causes her to place this scarlet rope in her window. And thus, when the children of Israel came, they would see that scarlet rope, and she was protected, all who were in her household. Isn't that interesting? When we're in Christ, we're protected. Look what she's acting out here, our faith. I think her faith is very, very impressive. And it shows us the grace of God, that here God spared this woman and her family, all who were in that house. And it's interesting, Rahab is a hero of faith, right? Not a hero of works. I think we like doing works, don't we? I mean, that's just one of the things. But then we start tagging it along to our salvation and putting it in there. It doesn't work that way. We were created for good works. For whatever reason, God uses us to proclaim the good news of the gospel to a lost and dying world. He could have used angels, right? He could have done that. We see it in the book of Revelation. There's an angel that flies around proclaiming the good news. But here and now, he uses imperfect people to do an amazing, amazing work. We're in the book of Acts on Thursday evening. Within 30 years or so, the gospel message spread throughout the whole known world. Did you ever think about that? That was by walking or camel or donkey or whatever. Transportation. Ship. That's it. And yet they spread the gospel. Why? Because it wasn't done through programs. It wasn't done through the ingenuity of man. It was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Read Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and empower you to bring the gospel message to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what's lacking today in our own lives, in the life of the church. It's not about programs. It's not about this or that. It's about asking God, Lord, what do you want us to do? And Lord, empower us to do it, that we can bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. Do you think the people of this world know something's going on? They do. They listen to the news. Look at Hawaii with Kilauea erupting. I mean, it's a beautiful island, but it's a volcanic island. It was formed by a volcano. Chances are it's going to happen again, and we see it now. What's the hope? The hope's in Jesus. Because here's the reality. And I don't want to be a downer, but we're all going to die, right? One day, we're all going to die. Where are you going? Where are you going to spend eternity? And I don't like to say, you know, eternity's a long time, because now I'm putting a limit on it. It's endless. There is no time with eternity. Are you going to spend it with the Lord or apart from Him? That's the greatest thing. And for us as believers, there's a lot of hurting people out there. Can they see our faith? Can they see that we truly believe in the living God? Because you will go through difficult times if you're not going through one right now. My wife, you know, she's been going through a boatload of stuff. You know, the latest thing after her thyroid surgery is her right vocal cord's not working. At first I was like, praise the Lord, but no, I'm just kidding. But she's been through so much. But you know what? Why? I can't give you like an answer to that. But God's working. Her faith will be seen in others' lives. Maybe it's just to encourage other believers. I don't know. Or maybe someone who's not saved. I shared with you, I think it was on Thursday, about my daughter-in-law's dad. And he's a great guy. Love Britt. He's just a sweet guy. Just I love him dearly. But he really didn't want to know about the Lord. And all of a sudden, man, he got sick. In and out of the VA hospital in Madison, you know, 4 times, I think it is. Keep discharging him without figuring out what's going on with him. The last time they said, well, we're going to discharge you. And he's like, no. And then the doctor goes, well, you could have a blood clot in your liver, you know, artery to your liver. Or you could have cancer. Well, why are you discharging him then? I mean, it's the craziest thing. I don't even get it. I scratch my head. But several days ago, one of the doctors that Britt works with came to visit him, not seeing him as a his patient, but just as a friend. And he shared Jesus with him. And Britt prayed and got saved. And he just got the Bible we sent him on Friday in New Believers Packup. And his daughter, Kara, said, you know, Dad, maybe the reason you're in the hospital is for that. I don't know. They still don't know what's going on with them. They still do not know. So please keep them in prayer. But can people see that our faith is real? Do we care about people? You know, James said in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I'm so thankful that we don't have to work our way in, but boy, we get to serve the Lord. And I don't consider that necessarily work. You know, people go, what kind of work do you do? I'm kind of like, well, it's not really work. I'm a pastor. You know, I don't consider that a job. I consider that's my profession. That's what I was called to do. And I think when people see that, they should see the joy in us. And it doesn't matter what job you're doing. And like I said, I was a critical care nurse for some 30 years. And I had such a wonderful time working with people in the hospital. I know that sounds kind of weird. But for whatever reason, I loved being able to make people feel better. And it was hard when people died, especially when I didn't know where they were going. And a couple times the Lord opened a door for me to do a funeral service for one of my patients who died. One of the head nurse's dad passed away, and she said that her dad really liked me and wanted me to do the service. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll be honored to be able to do that. And, you know, I didn't know the guy at all. I knew he rode a motorcycle. His daughter rode a motorcycle too, a Harley. So my wife and I get there, we're walking, and all of a sudden, Harley after Harley after Harley, there must have been 50 Harley Davidson motorcycles lined up. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we getting ourselves into here? And I had this captive audience to share Jesus with. I never tell people, unless I know, you know, that someone has made a commitment to Christ, I never tell people where their loved one went, because I don't know, apart from Christ. But I can tell them, and I usually say it like this. I said, you know, if so-and-so were here today, they want you to know this about Jesus. And I give them the gospel message. And I, you know, some of you have been to services that I've done. I don't pull any punches anymore. Years ago, I used to, you know, I still gave the gospel, but now it's pretty much black and white. And I can tell who's really getting hit with the message, because they're like that, you know, their head's going back and forth. But I make them see that they're not a good person. That none of us are a good person. God demands perfection. You're not. I'm not. And that's why we need him. And no one could leave without that in their mind. I've really never had anyone at a service get up and walk out that I can remember. Because it's a funeral service. You don't want to be, you know, obnoxious and leave. It looks bad. So they get to hear the truth. What a wonderful thing, guys, that God has entrusted to us. You know, it's a faith that changes us inwardly, and then it's manifested outwardly. God does the work in here, and then we're just living what we say we believe. And again, I don't want you leaving here, oh man, I blew it so many times. Of course you did. We all do. Right? But God is pretty gracious and merciful, isn't he? Because he continues to mold and shape our lives into the men and women he wants us to be. And as I've said so many times before, and I'll encourage you with this, like Paul said in Philippians, the work that he's begun in you, he will complete. He's not going to give up? No! God does not give up on us. He completes the work that's in us. How wonderful that is. Faith of Abraham, obeying what God has said. Faith of Rahab cost her something. But they both had faith in God. And lastly, the conclusion, verse 26, which we'll finish up here. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's it. Faith without works is dead. You know, think about a fruit tree, apple tree. If there's no growth, no leaves, no blossoms, no apples, the tree's dead. Is it still an apple tree? Well, I guess it is, but it's dead. It's useless, right? You cut it up and put it in the fire. And dead faith is just that. It's not living. It's dead. There's no life in it. One writer put it like this. He said, therefore, if no deeds are forthcoming, it is proof that the professed faith is dead. Notice that James does not deny that it is faith. He simply indicates that it is not the right kind of faith. It's not living faith, nor can it save. Absolutely. Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:5 said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Living faith, guys. Seen in the examples of Abraham, Rahab, they passed the test. And how about us? You know, as I close this morning, remember our story about Duckland that we opened up with. How the ducks were gathered together to hear the sermon from the duck minister. And he told them, you know, ducks, you have wings, and with wings you can fly like eagles. You can soar into the sky. Use your wings. Well, what happened after they heard that? The poor ducks waddled in and out of church and never flew as they were created to do, because their faith was nothing more than mental acceptance. Few things are as inglorious as a waddle, and a few things are more glorious than a duck on the wing. All God's people have wings. The first wing is faith, faith alone. And the second is works, a faith that works. The first wing is the source and inspiration for the second. For as authentic faith begins to beat, it occasions the sprouting of a second wing and its corresponding rhythm. And beating together, they lift us from our inglorious waddles to the glory of lives on the wing, soaring in God's service. You know, that's my prayer for all of us, is that we would soar for the Lord. God wants to do great things, not only in us, but then through us. And I pray that when we leave here, that, you know, the Holy Spirit has just poured himself upon us. We have a sense of purpose, that we look for things that we can do to honor the Lord because we love him. We want to do those things. We want to bless people. We want to see our faith soar. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Because, as he said, faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Our faith is alive, guys. People should see what we believe. I hate to talk about football season because we're, you know, I'm still waiting for summer. Spring is starting to come. But think about it. These people, as football season comes around, their faith is real, right? I mean, think about Tony and I, right? For the Bears. We are excited. Our faith is real. They're going to do good this year. And then we play the first game and it's pretty much wait till next year, you know? We've kind of developed the mentality of the Cubs. As Christians, our faith needs to be real, passionate. Do you really love the Lord? And if your faith was on trial, would you be convicted of loving the Lord? Wow. Lord, help me to live for you. Less of me, more of him in my life, right? I want to soar for Jesus, especially in the days we're living in. The light that God has infused me with, I want to shine brightly. I don't want to cover it up, but I want it to shine brightly so people who are in the darkness can see Jesus. Lord, our heart's desire is that people would see our faith and desire to have what we have. Jesus Christ, oh my gosh, how wonderful he is. What he has done in our lives, where he has taken us from and where he has placed us right now, and where we're going to be going one day. Lord, that's what we want people to see. Help us to shine for you, to soar for you, Lord. The people just are blown away when they look at our lives and they can't understand it. And we can say, it's not me, it's Jesus. And the same Jesus loves you. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and never giving up on us. And always working in us and then through us for your glory. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
To the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.